Glory, glory. So important that we just recognize the Spirit of the Lord in us. But not just in one moment. In every moment. Not just when we come to service. But as was mentioned, as we're walking through our house. As we're walking through Walmart. As we're walking through our job. You'd be surprised what can happen sometimes if you just begin to join into the presence of the Lord where you're going and wherever you're at and whatever you're doing. I've seen some incredible things that have happened. One morning, I was at my work, and I was just entering into His presence, but I had to go get a file from down the hall. And I stepped out into the hall, and I stepped down the hall, and suddenly I stepped out of this environment and into a place in South Africa. And there was a man there. He was wounded and needed to be ministered to by this tree that was about the only cover or shade in that particular area. And so I ministered to him. And when I was done, I turned and I stepped back into my office. Now, I can't tell you what happened there. All I can tell you is that for me, it was very, very real. But whatever it was, it was something, it was an opportunity that God just began to use me in that moment. He began to use, at the very least, my intercession in that moment. Simply because I was being aware of His presence and I was moved with Him where He was. God wants to move with you. As you move with Him in those moments, then what it does is it brings His presence into your presence. It brings His presence into your situation, into your circumstance, into the realm where you are. There's something that is quickened when we step into this place of worship and step into an awareness of His presence, because there's something that's changing in us as we do so, because you can't be around the Lord that long and that intensely without it making a difference in your own life. You can step into the places of presence. And see, one of the gifts that we get, that we receive when we step into the place of His presence, is that we're able to give over those parts of us that we would never otherwise give. Because there's a place of a greater trust that is established with Him in that moment. There's a greater trust and a greater peace, and because there's a greater peace and a greater trust, we'll just naturally be able to yield something that in another situation we would be hanging to with all our might. But see, as we're aware of Him, we become aware of the reality of eternity. When we stand in that place with Him, we get caught up in what is an eternal life that is within you. And the decisions and the thoughts that we'll have when we're aware of our eternal life are ever so much different than the decisions that we make just based on this temporal existence that we have. On this sensory existence that we have when we stay relegated to the realm of this earth. Because see, the things that make sense on this earth are selfishness. But the things that make sense in eternity is, what can I give? What can I do for someone else? What can I do for you, Lord? I had an opportunity to go see Reinhard Bonnke this week, and it's really an amazing man. And everything about him seems to be in excellence in every way. But he talked of a time when he was first beginning, and he had this office. And the office cost him $50 a month. Only problem was he didn't have $50. Now, I think this was back in the late 60s or something like that. But even so, $50 wasn't a huge amount of money then. And so he prayed all day for $50. And he said, I need to have $50 by 5 o'clock. And 5 o'clock came. And that's all that came. And so he's going home, and as he's walking home, still needing the $50, realizing he has nothing to pay and the man didn't get paid that needed to be paid. But he hears the Lord ask him, would you like for me to give you $1 million? And at first he thought, I'm only looking for 50. And then he said, just the next thought that came up and the words that came out of his mouth is, no, Lord, I want 1 million souls. That thought didn't come out of this realm. That thought didn't come out of the selfishness that is in the human frame. That thought came out of the presence and being in contact and connected to his heavenly Father and seeing the cry that was in his Father's heart. And his response was this, no, Lord, I want 1 million souls. Do you know that that man, he's had crusades where more than 1 million people, 1.6 million people signed a decision card saying that they chose to give their life to Christ. They signed it and wrote it out. It wasn't just they counted heads as they walked through some turnstile. They signed a card saying that they chose to give their life to Christ. 1.6 million people in one crusade. One afternoon, one evening. 73 million people since have signed a decision card. Since he started keeping track. That isn't not the whole number of people that he's had the privilege of walking through and bringing them to salvation. Because he was willing to reach into heaven. He was willing to allow something in heaven to operate in him. That kind of a commission isn't released out of this earth. It is only released out of the contact that we have with heaven. That's an operation of the Holy Spirit because those things don't happen in the natural. It's an operation of trusting in a relationship with the Holy Ghost where He allows the Holy Ghost to say and do what He wants to do so that something on this earth gets changed. When we begin to worship, we begin to enter into this place of private worship with Him. As we begin to enter into this place of being aware of His presence and staying in this presence of God, then these things can begin to happen with us. I've seen way too easily the difference between if I'm counseling somebody or if the Holy Ghost counsels somebody. When the Holy Ghost counsels somebody, then there's a change that happens in their heart. There's a change that's permanent. It doesn't have to be reinforced. I don't have to come back and follow them up week after week after week and keep telling them the same thing. Because the Holy Ghost has already shifted it inside them. I got to pray with a young lady this week who was having a problem internally, and the result was that she couldn't go to the bathroom. And she would go 24 hours without going to the bathroom. Maybe not even once in a whole day. That's not healthy for your body. And after we prayed, after we dealt with some things and we prayed, I saw her the next day and she said, I've already gone to the bathroom 8 times today. And she was heading to the bathroom right then. I believe God's touched her life. I believe God's touched her life. There's nothing I can do to affect that in the natural. That's not something that comes out of us existing in this realm. That has to come out of the realm of heaven. And even so, it comes out of the realm of heaven for you. Every need you have. Physically. Father, I just release it over her now. I release it over. I release health, Father, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I release health. I release restoration, Father, within her body. Father, to her inward parts, we speak wholeness and wellness, and we speak a peace, Father. A peace, Father, that has not been known, Father. A peace that hasn't been experienced yet. I thank you, and I release a peace within every part of her intestinal system, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the smoothness of the proper flow of blood, Father, and the flow of every bit of oxygen needing to every area, Father. I thank you, Father, for a supernatural healing. And Lord, I thank you for a gift within her body, Lord, where she knows and feels the differences as it transforms within her, Lord. Hallelujah. Becoming aware of his presence. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of this world, and that's probably my greatest shortcoming, is that it's very easy for me to step into busyness. It's easy for me to just pick my hand to something and just do it. But sometimes just picking your hand to it and doing it is not what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for your action of faith. He's looking for a moment of trust. There was something that was happening with my truck, my Jeep, and, you know, I worked on this thing off and on for 2 weeks, and then finally I just said, Lord, I'm grabbing a hold of the steering wheel, and Lord, you got to fix it, because I've done everything that was supposed to be done, and it still isn't working the way it's supposed to. And you know what? The next time I drove it out and tested it, it worked. There wasn't anything else that really needed to change. Change had to happen in here. It's not fun when you hit a bump and all of a sudden it starts shaking like it's going to come apart. Kim drove it when it did that once. It's not a good thing. Because you don't know where it's going next. All you know is it's shaking side to side and it's going everywhere. But you know what? God knew how to deal with it. So why didn't I save 2 weeks? Because I can do it. But see, I can do it only goes so far. I can do it only goes a little ways. God wants to reach into something that's supernatural. He wants to draw you into a place that's supernatural. He wants to move into your life in a way that's supernatural. He wants to release something in your life that is supernatural, where you begin to understand the things of this world in a whole brand new way. Because see, when we look out of eternity and into the realm of today, it looks different. If I look at it from a standpoint of eternity, my purpose for today is very different. It's so easy to get caught up in the doings of today and miss the purpose of your life. It's so easy to get caught up in the little busynesses that we have. Oftentimes we don't think it's us. I mean, but reality is it's just us. But we get so caught up in all these things of the realm of the moment. And we don't even realize that day after day and week after week and month after month have passed. God wants to contact you. He wants you to be so aware of Him moment by moment. Because see, in the awareness of Him moment by moment, now there's an awareness of what He can do. As we begin to touch base with our Lord and our Savior. As we begin to touch base with Him, as we begin to recognize His presence, as we begin to cultivate that presence, as we begin to rely upon that presence, now there's suddenly something that is empowering our moment. It's something that's changing our moment, because see, now the presence of God, you're walking with the presence of God. There's something about walking with the presence of God, because then all of a sudden, yielding your will becomes the natural thing to do. It is so hard to yield my will when I'm only walking in an earthly environment. I'd like to tell you it was different, but I'd lie if I did. But when I'm walking with the presence of God, when I'm aware of the presence of God, yielding my will becomes the natural thing to do in that moment. Hallelujah. So whatever it is that God wants becomes something that becomes easy to give. When I begin to yield my will, now all of a sudden I can begin to align myself with a true purpose for the moment. And God's true purpose for the moment has a lot more to do with people than it does with things. It has a lot more to do with people than it does with whatever activity that you had planned. God's will for the moment is going to result in somebody getting touched. and somebody being brought into a place of increase, and somebody being brought into a place of life. What could happen if one person yielded to the will of the Father and simply began to have one mission in life? And that mission was to touch people with AIDS and they'd be healed. What would happen? What would happen if all that God called you to do was just come up and touch people with AIDS and they'd be healed? Can you imagine what would begin to look like as you walk through a hospital? It wouldn't be long until you had a line, no matter where you went, lined up behind you, just looking for you to touch them. One person with a mission, because they yielded to what God has said, let's do. I love each and every one of you, but let's not limit it to this. Let's not limit it to this. Let's reach into the heart of God and find out what it is He wants us to do. There's enough of us here to change the whole world if we'll let God work through us. Change is a good thing. Change is a wonderful thing. Change is something that brings about a joy and it brings about a life that there's no other way to accomplish. You know, the enemy wants to use your past to hold you down. God wants to use your past to promote you. What He's looking for is for us to have enough of Him, to walk in enough of Him, to engage that possibility. To have enough of Him to engage what it is He's putting in front of us. So that the words of prophecy that we receive don't just remain words on a shelf somewhere, but they become life. How many of you have been given a word? Just raise your hand. The deal is, whether we hear it or someone else speaks it to us, when it becomes rhema within us, is when it changes us. And it becomes rhema within us when we are contacting in enough of a contact with God, we're standing enough in His presence that He can begin to shape us to whatever the word is needing to come forth. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will make your paths straight. See, this is actually what I was looking to teach about, but that's okay, because when God can do something in you, when His presence is around you, this becomes something that's very simple to do. If we would just keep this one bit of advice in mind all the time. If we would take this proverb to heart and walk in the fullness of what this proverb can do in your life, you would become probably one of the most successful Christians ever. Because see, as we trust in Him, as our trust is based in Him and it's not based in our own thoughts and our abilities, He's not looking for people who are perfect. He's not even looking for people who are talented and gifted. He's got enough talents and gifts for you. He's simply looking for people who are yielded. I had a young man come up to me Friday night and he said, I believe I'm supposed to be in the ministry, but I don't know if I could ever be that perfect. I just looked at him and I kind of grinned for a second, and then I just pointed to the minister that was ministering at that moment and I said, do you believe that he's perfect? And he said, no. So I pointed to another minister and I said, do you believe that he's perfect? And he said, no. And then I pointed to myself and he said, do you believe that he's perfect? And he still said, no. And I said, why do you think that you would have to be perfect? Sometimes it's our very inadequacy in themselves, the very brokenness that is within us that makes God look that much greater. Because people can look and go, man, look at Chuck and see how messed up he is, and yet God could still do this. God could still do this. There's a place in God. As we approach Him, as we trust in Him, as we allow ourselves to be changed by this worship, be changed by this attitude of being in His presence, the trust is established. True trust. See, trust and faith are not the same thing. See, faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. But what is trust? See, trust is the acceptance of what has already been given, what has already been shown. Trust is a decision to accept what has been given or demonstrated. I'd like to tell you that I made that up, but that's something the Lord spoke. Because see, when we begin to look at trust as a decision, when we begin to look and we can understand the difference between trust and faith, because for me, most of the time, it was kind of the same thing, but it's really not. See, trust is taking that which has already been evidenced and making a decision that I'm going to believe this. It's taking and observing a truth and realizing I'm going to stand in this. See, trust is what happens when you choose to believe grace. You choose to accept grace. That's trust. Why? Because, see, the Word says in John 1:17 that grace and truth were revealed by Christ Jesus. It's something that's already been revealed. So it's already been shown to you. It's already been demonstrated to you. So now we just choose to place our trust in it. We place our trust in what's been revealed. That means we're coming into an alignment with what has been revealed when we place our trust. When we place our trust in Him, then we're truly accepting Him. Because we're accepting what He has revealed about Himself. Now, you want an act of faith when you receive a word that says your body's going to be healed, but yet it's not healed at that moment. That's an act of faith because it has yet to be seen. Recently, when Kim was diagnosed with these lumps or masses within her body, there rose in her a great faith. That faith said this, the Lord's got this. It wasn't yet revealed what was going to happen. We didn't know whether or not it was cancer. We didn't know what it was. The doctor was pretty sure that she knew what it was. And she was doing everything but just saying, we're 100% sure. Yet God showed up. God showed up. But see, that was an act of faith because it was something that had not yet been revealed. But when it comes to grace, grace has been revealed. When it comes to the promises of God, these promises are being revealed. Now it's a matter of trust. You know how often we're encouraged when you start looking at the word trust, we're encouraged just 100 times or more about trusting in the Lord. See, because our trust has to be placed somewhere where it's solid and safe. When our trust is in the Lord, then it's placed in the proper place that it can be nurtured and grown. When our trust is placed in something else, in some person, place, or thing, it's not the Lord, it can be misplaced. Misplaced trust will result in brokenness. It will result in disappointment and hurt. No matter how good the person is, our trust shouldn't be in the person. Our trust should be in the presence of God within the person. Our trust should be in God and what He wants to do in this situation rather than in the situation. When we begin to operate in control. When we begin to allow control to operate in our life, that's a misplaced trust. Because see, that's a trust in yourself more than in God. When we're operating in control, we're saying, God, it doesn't matter really because I've got this. And I'd like to say I've never done that, but every one of us has done that. We want to make sure to place our trust in the places where it makes a difference. We place our trust in the Lord. Our ability to do something is not so much about our effort as it is about our surrender and our trust being in Him as we surrender. He's the one who's your sufficiency. He's the one who can release grace on your behalf. He's the one who can begin to manipulate and move the very atoms of this world if need be. Our place, our trust is in Him. The place of trust is in Him. See, trust is something that is built by things that have been evidenced. And that's why lies, both given and received, break down trust. They corrupt trust. It doesn't matter whether you're the one speaking the lie or you're the one hearing the lie, receiving the lie. It breaks down trust. You wouldn't think about, putting acid in your mouth. But yet, if we put a lie in our mouth, we're doing the same thing. Because it's corroding the trust. Because see, when we begin to speak out, what that does is it opens the door to the enemy to operate. What he can do with that is then he begins to shift your place of trust onto a placed person or circumstance instead of on God. Generally, when we do those things, it's because we're trusting more in what we can control than what God wants to do. I know everybody just got really excited and was like joyful to hear this story. Trust is a decision. Trust is a decision that we can make. See, and we've learned about decision because, see, decision is that which entitles you to have power over the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 says that He's given us power over all the power of the enemy. He's given us exousia over all the dunamis of the enemy. And exousia is the liberty to choose. It's a decision. So He's giving you this exousia, this liberty to choose, and it trumps the power of the enemy. See, your decision. There was a sweet lady I ministered to on Friday night. She had this desire to just flee her circumstance. Because she had the impression that all God really wanted to do was to, like a controlling father, to just stand over her and demand something. And she didn't realize what she wasn't really truly dealing with was the fact that no matter where she went, she was still going to feel that. So I began to help her to see that trust is a decision. Began to help her to see that the Holy Ghost will respect everything about her and will just respect her choice, but that she gets to make the choice. And as she makes the choice, then there will be a natural alignment process within her soul that will make the things that she was trying to deal with disappear. God wants to build us up in a place of called trust. He wants to establish within us this place called trust because it's more than just faith. See, faith comes first from a place of trust. You're going to place your faith where you trust. If my trust is in my bank account, my faith will be in my bank account. And anything that gets in the way and starts hindering or harming that now gets my full attention and my full wrath if it gets trying to take something away from me. Why? Because then you're threatening my understanding of my power. But see, there's a place called trust in Him. when our trust is based in Him, than when somebody else attempts to take something from us, then we have this place of being able to trust that God will take care of it. That we don't have to hang on to things so tightly at that moment, because see, now we can begin to let God just be God. I gave you a natural example, but see, sometimes those things are emotional examples. Sometimes there are other issues in our life. We're hanging on to something because we value it more than we understand the place that we have of trust. We don't need to be perfect. We just need to be yielded. Our life, our future, is not so much about our effort as it is about our choice. Our destiny comes out of what will we trust? What will allow Him to build in this place of trust? Will we allow Him to come and be a part of our world? Will we seek to know and understand His presence with us? Will we seek to know and inhabit this place of relationship with Him? Will we seek the place of trust? Will we seek a revelation of Him moment by moment, day by day? Having an expectancy in our heart of meeting Him continually. Having an expectancy in our heart of being able to stand in the place with Him. Occupying every moment. Because when we begin to occupy every moment with Him, it doesn't mean that you can't accomplish the tasks that you need to do, but it does mean that you can actually accomplish those tasks in a way that fulfills the call of God in you. In a way that there's a remembrance of God even as you do that which needs to be done. You can iron a shirt and still be standing in the presence of God. Brother Lawrence would just be peeling potatoes and people would come in and fall out from the presence of God because he was just dwelling on the presence of God even as he did the peeling of the potato. And some things it's a little harder because it takes a little more of your mind than just peeling a potato. But there still can be a remembrance, Lord, as I do this, I'm dedicating this time that I'm spending on this computer, I'm dedicating this thought and this arrangement to you. Lord, as I'm contacting this client, Lord, I'm dedicating this time to you. And Lord, if there's something that I need to hear during this moment, let me know. I'm listening. Because see, sometimes when you're just standing in the presence of the Lord like that, sometimes when you're allowing the Lord to touch you like that and being aware of His presence, then in a business dealing, He can make something change and shift on your behalf. He can let you know, hey, their real purpose, their real goal is to do this. Or this person's lying to you and you haven't seen it yet, but here's about what they're about to do. Or sometimes He'll just set His grace and His favor on you. When we begin to cry out and trust Him. I've seen Him change situations that saved me $50,000 a year in one single conversation. Just because I had a trust in Him. Because I choose to trust in Him. God will make something happen. Steve, when you're standing in front of a client, God can begin to pour Himself out on them just because you're aware of God's presence. And you don't even have to say anything all the time. I remember Enrique telling me the story of he was just going through, was it Home Depot or Lowe's? He was out there and he's just walking and this lady starts walking by him and she goes, "Whoa, what's that?" And she almost falls out in Lowe's just because she walked by him. This should be what we experience all the time because we're currying the favor, the presence of the Lord. because we're relying upon Him, engaging with Him. Hallelujah. Father, we recognize only one thing really matters. And Lord, I just now publicly repent, Lord, for the times and places, Lord, where I've allowed, Father, the busyness of this world to take my eyes off of You. The busyness and distractions, Father, to take my eyes, Father, my ears, my thoughts off of You, Lord. And so, Lord, I ask You today, Lord, for that awakening of Your favor, the awakening of Your understanding, the awakening of the place of trust within me, within these, within all of us. And Lord, today we just come to announce, Father, a place of trust in You. A place of trusting You enough, Lord, to listen for You, Lord, every moment. A place of trusting in You, Lord, to open our spirit, Lord, to be aware of Your presence. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to follow after You, to walk with You, Lord, to be one with You, to walk in a place of unity and a place of the supernatural, Father. Lord, the supernatural just becomes our normal course of events for us, Father. Where the supernatural becomes not something just a dream for another day, Father, but it's something that we're living in today. Lord, let us turn our faith to You. We turn our faith to You. We choose to turn our faith to You. We choose, Father, to walk in trust for You. We make a choice for trust, Lord. We make a choice for this presence. We make a choice, Father, to love You. We make a choice to keep this priority first in our thoughts and in our life. We rejoice, Lord, for Your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.